When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Oh my, listen to these 5-star reviews. I can't believe I got my order so fast. Easiest exchange ever. A loyal customer for life. In the last 2 months, our reviews are better than ever.
That's because we leveled up our fulfillment process by switching to ShipStation. They're way more comprehensive than other solutions, and we save up to 90% off all major carriers.
Ugh, best upgrade ever.
Upgrade to ShipStation today to get a 60-day free trial at ShipStation.com, code audio.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Lots to get into this morning. Ruben Amorim will be speaking to the press, and I'll be reacting to that at 1:30 today because Beth's off. So I get to do an Amorim press conference, which I'm very excited for. We'll be live around 2:00 for that. But we're live at 10:00 this morning with the latest Manchester United news. And look, I think it's very interesting, actually, just looking at the poll on the United Stand posts page. Would you rather play Bruno Fernandes in the midfield, or would you rather drop him if you had the choice between the two? 60% of you would drop him, 40% of you would get him on the pitch and play him in the midfield. And it's that big decision that we know that Ruben Amorim is not going to change about. It's that transfer defiance that basically led to us not signing midfielder. And the reason behind that is actually quite interesting. It's a risk. It's a risk from the club. It's a risk from Amorim. We'll be talking about that. Because there's a lot of talk about Man United. Like we were talking about it last night. Man United might sign two midfielders. They might get Belaber and Wharton. But what people don't realise is there isn't the money to do that. Like that, this projection of future success, this projection of future signings is always great when it's something down the road. Tomorrow, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to have a really productive work day. I'm going to go out on the night. I'm going to pull a 10 out of 10 stunner. And she's going to marry me and we're going to be loaded. Yeah? Because it's going to happen tomorrow. Why can't it happen today? Well, you know, got a bit of a bad back, you know. And that's United. Tomorrow is always brilliant. But when it comes, it's always, I meant tomorrow, not today. And that's the thing with United. We've just come out of a transfer window where we should have bought a midfielder and we didn't. But we're talking about next summer transfer window. But the realities of that window will hit when they're actually today. So I think that's something very important to discuss as well. We're just going to talk about Lemens. There's a bit of rumour going around that he might start the game. And we're not just talking about Billy Meredith's rage baiting. I also want to talk a little bit about the holes in the United team ahead of tomorrow and what we think is achievable and a few other bits as well. But welcome to Friday. Welcome to the weekend. Thanks to everyone who's checked out our video on Mass Football predicting the Premier League weekend. Both me and Robbie both going with a Man United win tomorrow. Remember, it's an early one tomorrow, 12:30 kickoff. So we'll be live from the studio with countdown to kickoff from 10:30. So we are up first, Manchester United. But what is not up for change, what is not going to happen, is we're not going to see huge change at Manchester United. Now, Ruben Amorim has effectively said he's not going to change. And when I look at that Manchester United side, the goalkeeper and the midfield are the two areas that concern me the most. Now, Simon Stone has actually said overnight, and I'll read you exactly what he said. Just taking a little bit of time to upload here. There we go. I'm going to step back a bit. I'm a bit close for my glasses. I won't be able to read it. So, I've got to read you this one. I've got to read you this one first, right? We like a bit of banter on here. Now, some Manchester United aggregators just take stuff, and some United YouTubers, like they expose themselves as not actually doing the job that their forefathers, i.e. us and a couple of others, we've opened the door for them to create, right? But when we were opening that door, we did it based on a few factors of research, sources, etc. So some of these people are just very lazy. So some of these people have actually fallen for Billy Meredith on X, if you know who he is. He just keeps putting out what I quite find quite funny stories, that just to see if anybody will take them as written. So the Iron Dome Lamens thing was made up from him. And some people, that has made its way onto aggregators, YouTube channels. Well done to him for that. He's got another one. Ruben Amorim tried Delo at centre midfield in training. According to sources close to Manchester United, he was outstanding. Ruben has said, "We knew defensively he'd be solid, his positional awareness, pace, power and intelligence. But what surprised the staff and myself was his ability to drive from defence to attack. I've seen videos of Brian Robson and the likeness was uncanny." This is apparently via Miguel Delaney, via Billy Meredith. It's total nonsense. It's total nonsense, but it's already been picked up by aggregators on TikTok. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you read. But I mean, Delo has tried out in midfield, and the likeness to Brian Robson in his uncanny. I mean, how would you not know that's bait? You know, how would you not know? I don't know. Anyway, this is not bait. This is from Simon Stone this morning. Sources say, I almost feel like this is going to be made up because of what we've just done there. Sources say this is true. This is from Simon Stone in the BBC. Sources say that Lamens has impressed in Manchester United training, and the overall view of him is a positive one. He's described as having a calm presence, as being mature for his age, and is taking his new surroundings in his stride. He's already got somewhere to live, so has stepped out of hotel life. So he's not in hotels anymore. He's settling in at Manchester United, which I suppose actually gives you an indicator of the situation. I mean, the fact that he's doing well in training, Harry Maguire spoke well about him a week ago. Obviously, that's coming out from Simon Stone, who's a very credible journalist. So Lamens is obviously settling in well. But the thing I take about from that is some people will go, oh, maybe he's going to play tomorrow. Maybe he's going to play tomorrow. I'd love him to play tomorrow. I don't think he is going to play tomorrow. It'd be a pleasant surprise if he did. But I think the hint is in the news there. You know, if he's just moved out of hotel accommodation and he's found somewhere to stay, he's young. He's been living in a hotel. Does that sort of give you the indication of a player that's ready to go and play in goal for Manchester United? I mean, I don't think your living arrangements and your age dictate whether you're ready to start for Manchester United, but it just feels to me like Lamens is a longer term project. And he's certainly not a, my Iron Dome says Deb. Yeah, it feels like he's a bit of a longer term project and not something that United are looking to throw in. So I'd be surprised. I want him to start. I feel like Bienda is, an accident waiting to happen. But I don't think it will be Lamens tomorrow. I think it will be Bienda again. Some people are saying I'll put him in, you know, like Greta X as well. And I would certainly do it. But I think we are going to be sticking with Bienda. The big one for me tomorrow, and I mentioned it in the preview last night, fantastic show, is what happens with Sesko. I feel if Sesko's in the team tomorrow, I'm really happy. But I've got a funny feeling, what I'm hearing, that he might just go with Mount, Amorim and Cunha as his front three, which he did against Fulham. And we did start very well in that game. So, you know, maybe that can happen. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, I want to talk about I'm right. Not me, Ruben Amorim. I want to talk about won't stop. I want to talk about why Bruno Fernandes was kept and why the midfield and the goalkeeper are areas that I would pose the question to you. This is not going to change. Like this week, next week, the week after, next month, we are going to be playing a midfield that's got Bruno Fernandes in it. I mean, look at the game against Brentford. I think the conversation that Bruno needs to play as a number 10, which I agree with, is actually redundant. It's not going to happen. Like, you look at the situation tomorrow, Mount's fit, Cunha's fit, Mbeumo's fit, Ahmad's fit, Xerxes' fit. You've got five people that can play as a number 10. If you play Bruno as a 10, you're benching four of them. So Bruno's not going to be playing as a number 10. And also, Bruno's not going to get dropped. Therefore, Bruno's going to play in the midfield this week, next month. This is going to keep happening. So I would say to you, Ruben Amorim has set his stall out. And I know the reason behind it, and I'll tell you right now, it's the defiance, it's stubborn, it's a strategy, it's risky, but it isn't going to change. So, you know, a little bit like the formation, that's not going to change either. You have to go, well, what am I? Am I a Man United fan who wants Man United to win, or am I somebody that wants to be proven right? I'm a Man United fan that wants to win. Although I worry about Bruno in the midfield, I'm now going.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
How much does this hinder us? How much does this stop us? Is this going to be the reason he gets the sack? Is this going to be the reason that we don't get European football? Or is it possible that he can stay in a job and transition through the next 12 months, get European football, move Bruno onto Saudi, and then next season we're even better? Can we get fifth? Can we get sixth with Bruno playing in the midfield every week? And first of all, before we answer that question, this is the message that's coming out of Manchester United at the moment. Now, as you know, over the summer, we had some really good stuff, apart from June when everyone was on holiday. And, you know, it does change a little bit because it's not all about transfers at the moment. So you're not always getting stuff about that. But you do get bits coming out. And the stance around Bruno and the stance around Amrin and the stance around the feeling and the temperature at Manchester United at the moment is that there is an acknowledgement of transition. There is acknowledgement of transition last summer and there is an acknowledgement of transition next summer. And effectively, the stance that Bruno had was that if Man United had said, we want you to go, he would have gone to Saudi. He would have done. He said that publicly in an interview, but he would have done that. And Man United didn't want him to go and basically said, we don't want you to go. Maybe next summer, but we don't want you to go. And Bruno adhered to his contracts and said, look, I don't know whether I'm ready to go myself. Let's keep it as it is. So the question is who, why, and was it right to do that? The main reason Amrin and the board decided to keep Bruno Fernandes was because of transition. With Marcus Rashford going out of the club and Anthony and Sancho and Garnacho and, you know, that was quite a lot of players coming out. To lose Bruno Fernandes as well was seen as a too much too soon. It wasn't an acknowledgement that it didn't need to happen. It was an acknowledgement that it was too much too soon. And the feeling is that this is a longer term project and that next summer you're going to lose people like Casemiro, potentially Bruno Fernandes. Anana's gone as well. Let's not forget he's gone. I mean, as much as we'd celebrate that, Rasmus went as well. So it was more than just Rashford, etc. There's quite a lot of upheaval from the first team from the end of last season to the start of this season. You start adding in the likes of Bruno Fernandes, then suddenly you're changing most of your team. Now, we as fans want that to happen. I want that to happen. The quicker the change, the better. I'm willing to take it on. But is that a hypothetical take on? If we'd removed Bruno as well, and we'd had a bad start to the season, maybe we'd lost 3 out of 5 instead of 2. Are we going, well, you know, we have just lost Bruno and Rashford, or are we going, oh, blah, blah, blah. And you don't know that. And United's stance has been, this is a longer term project. Financially, we've got to be, you know, stable. But also, transitionally, we want to be doing things in stages. And the belief from Amrin is that with Bruno in the team in the midfield, he can hit the targets he's been set this summer, this season, and then next summer make a decision on that, on what he wants to do next. So United believe, and we've heard it from Sir Jim Radcliffe anyway, Man United believe they can get Champions League football with Bruno in the midfield. Amrin believes he's right on that. The club believe they're right on that. Bruno thinks he's right on that. That's their stance. There's never going to be any twists and turns from United. They're never going to go, oh, you know, the plan wasn't to play Bruno in the midfield. We're doing it because of injury. Well, we're not. Oh, you know, the plan wasn't to play Bruno in the midfield. We just forgot we bought too many number 10s. Obviously not. The plan is to stick Bruno in the midfield. And that was what the plan was at the start of the summer. And that's the plan they've gone with, which is why when people say to me, you know, you're Amrin in, but you're quite critical about the midfield, because it's a conscious decision that the club have decided to do this. The question is, will it work? Because I think there's a big chance that Bruno will be gone next summer. So the question is, and when you look at Sporting, by the way, when you look at Sporting, he came into Sporting from Braga, Amrin, with not much of a reputation. And there was a lot of trepidation and, you know, concern and, you know, questions from Sporting fans. And he didn't get it right straight away, but he did get it right. And a lot of that was major upheaval, but not instant. There was a lot of change in the first summer, a lot of change, but there was a lot of change for the next 2 or 3 years. And I think that's the plan at Manchester United. The question is, Manchester United is not Sporting. Can he survive the upheaval? I.e., can this Manchester United side get enough results to get itself into the top six to survive this season and then make more changes next summer? Because I think that's where we're going. And that's why I said to you last night and yesterday morning, if I could press a button that said Amrin will be here at the start of next season, I would do it. I'm not fast forwarding 12 months and wasting 12 months of my life, but I would certainly press that button and know that for all the Amrin out movements that we're going to get through the next few weeks and the next few months, if I know in my head he's here in a year's time, I think we're going to be in an interesting position. I wouldn't be surprised at the start of next season, Bruno's gone. Mainu's a regular. There's another couple of midfielders coming in. There's another striker, got an experienced goalkeeper. But that sounds great, but you've got to achieve your goals now. You've got to win against Brentford tomorrow. You've got to win against Sunderland next week. You've got to get yourself in the top six race. My question to you is, can we do that with Bruno Fernandes in the midfield? Because there's no doubting that Bruno Fernandes, in my opinion, is our best player currently, still our best player. I think there's potential for the likes of Cunha and De Ligt and Mbeumo and Ahmad and a few others to surpass Bruno, even in his time here this season. But right here, right now, he's our best player. The question is, playing him out of position, can we get where we need to be? Because it is a weakness. And honestly, I think the answer to that question is not if we stick with this midfield for the whole season, because I'm going against what I think. You're going to be going against what you think. I personally think that this is a huge mistake. The ramifications of the mistake and the severity of the impact, we don't know yet, which is why I said last Sunday that Premier League being a little bit chaotic plays into our hands. Like, the more teams beat each other, what we don't want is a top five that's very consistent, because I don't think we can be consistent. Can we get fifth place with Bruno Fernandes playing in the midfield? You're doing it. I'm trying to think of. It's like running a marathon with a stone in your shoe. You can do it, and it might slow you down. It's not going to make you run at your peak, and it might cause you not to complete the marathon. But you can do it. And I think that's what I would describe it as. We're running the marathon with a stone in our shoe or our trainer. And how that's going to impact us, we don't know. It may not stop us, you know, winning the marathon or getting into the top five in the marathon, but it's a definite impact factor. The front three have got to score a lot of goals to counterbalance the weakness in the midfield. And the defense has got to be extremely good to counterbalance the defensive inadequacies of somebody like Bruno Fernandes in there. So it can be done, but as we saw against Fulham, if you don't score the goals, he costs you a goal 1-1. I think Fulham's the prime example of what the problem is with Bruno in the midfield.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
He misses a penalty himself. We miss a few chances ourselves, and then he loses the runner and it ends up 1-1. If you're going to score one goal a lot, I think it becomes a problem. If you're going to score two or three goals a lot, you might be able to deal with it. The issue I have is that if it was just Bruno in the midfield and you had a Martinez or a Donnarumma in goal, you might go, good goalkeeper, good front three, good back four, five. It's one area of weakness. We might be able to do it. My issue is, it's more than one area of weakness, isn't it? And the goalkeeper worries me a lot as well. But I can see why they've done it. I want to get proven wrong. And it is about transition. That's what it is. And Ruben Amorim is stubborn. And he will say he's right. And he has to be right. Because we're not Sporting. And he's not managed in the Premier League before. And a lot of Premier League teams have very strong midfields. And we saw it with Ten Hag in his last 18 months. Midfield just getting absolutely bypassed. And that's what worries me. It's like, it can work. We can achieve what is effectively top six in Amorim's first full season. But we all have our concerns around the midfield. And that's why I think it's a huge risk. I think it's a huge risk. And I think it's why, if in January we can just survive until Christmas, if in January we can go and get a Ruben Neves or a Conor Gallagher, it would be great. But having said that, you're still going to play Bruno in the midfield. And that's what I was saying about Belaba. Like, even if we got Belaba, he wasn't going to play Belaba and Mainoo. He was still going to play Bruno. So, look, I know it's like a broken record. And, you know, there's even people saying that in the chat. And I do agree with you. But just because it's repetitive doesn't mean it's still there. You know, if you walk into a room and there's a stinky person there making it smell, are you just going to stop saying it? But it still smells, like, you know, and the midfield still is an issue until it's not an issue. And I think it is an issue. But as I say, I sort of understand why he's done it, because I think that the club and Amorim looked at it and went, Rasmus, Onana, Rashford, Garnacho, Anthony, Sancho. It's a lot of players to go. And then Bruno as well, you know. And we're so slow at transfers as well. We're so slow at transfers that I think it becomes massively problematic to try and do that in such a short period of time. There's going to have to be that word, isn't there? There's going to have to be that word, as per usual, that patience word. Certainly. How are you feeling, Mark? Yeah, as you can see, my nose is now running. It was coughing fits at the start of the week. I've now progressed to runny nose. I don't get it. But I do feel a lot better. Bundesliga tonight. We've got a bit of a Super Chat goal going on, by the way. We're halfway there. I need a little bit of help on the Christmas jumpers this year. So we'll talk about that, certainly. Just on Amorim, there's a few other bits I want to get into, but I'm sort of freestyling a bit because I'm excited that I'm reacting to the Amorim press conference later. You do realise that despite all the noise from the media, and I don't trust the media, they have their own axe to grind, and there is a movement in the fan base around Amorim out, of course. But you do realise that Ruben Amorim fits Ineos like a glove, like absolutely fits them like a glove. You do realise that the safety that Amorim lives under, provided by Ineos, is an Iron Dome. Like, he is extremely safe. I've not heard anybody say this, but I was talking to somebody again, obviously, which is why I was talking about the transition and why Bruno didn't go and the club and Amorim. You know, obviously, I've been speaking to somebody. But secondary to that, you know, we were having a bit of a chat about Amorim's safety, and it was fed into me that, like, and we've not discussed it, so it's a bit, you know, logical but factual. Amorim is ridiculously safe under Ineos. I felt that, but being told that in the way that I was told it from somebody within the club is quite enlightening, really. Like, if you're Amorim in, you should be very, very secure. Like, he is very, very safe, because Amorim and Ineos fit each other like a glove. And it sort of explains something that I've been a bit confused about. When I look at the appointment of Amorim, I look at the 3-4-3 and I go, that is so different to anything we've ever done at this football club historically, systematically. And I look at your spend in the summer, and that is not sufficient. You could argue it's not even 50% of what we needed in the summer. So I sort of go, why did they give him the job in the first place if they didn't understand that you need to buy a lot more than you did? Because the system change demands at least 6 signings in the summer, and you really only bought 3. But then, having this conversation I had, I can see why they went for him. And we probably should have picked up on it, and we probably have picked up on it. Beyond the system change, where I think they have failed, they haven't been quick enough. Long term, Amorim, when you look at what he did at Sporting, and Ineos, and you look at what they want to do, I don't know whether this works at Manchester United, but in a few sentences, Ruben Amorim at Sporting basically came in, took a very famous club back to the top, multiple league titles, multiple players in the team playing for the national team, multiple high-value sales, profitability, lots of young players coming through, sustainability. These are all words that Manchester United absolutely want. They want status back. We've got no Man United players in the current England team. They want that. They want that status. Not necessarily just the England team, but they want a team full of internationals. They want a team full of brand, really. That's ultimately what Man United want. Sustainability. They want to bring through young players, some of which are massively valued in the game in a brand sense, some of which are massively valued in a selling sense. They want a longer term vision and understand that is stability. You know, not sacking managers, not buying loads of players. Amorim offers that in his longer term project that he did at Sporting. So Ineos and Amorim are aligned perfectly. What's not aligned with that is our media and certain sections of our fan base and the lack of patience. But it's very obvious why they chose Amorim when you think about what was just said there. They're looking for a guy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
That has built something before from ruins, who doesn't spend a shitload of money, who develops talent, who rebuilds the status of a football club in a sustainable way, and produces a model that, when it's up and running, keeps performing year after year after year. Basically, they want Man United back in the Champions League year after year, with the ability to have a pipeline of players coming through that they can sell some, keep some. They can buy players in, but not at big inflated prices. They can bring players in who get better and keep that wheel going round and round. The danger point is the first 12 months. Once it starts to show, it's a bit like a snowball that becomes a snowman. You start off with a little bit of snow. You start rolling it around and it takes a little bit of time dependent on the snow. Like sometimes it sticks and you're big really, really quick. Sometimes it's breaking up and stuff like that. But once the momentum starts to build, that snowball's getting big. It's getting really, really big. And this is obviously what Ineos have seen in Amarin. The question is, can you get through that first 12 months? Because let's play it out. If United did get fifth place this year and that was Champions League football, everybody would forget about Bruno in the midfield. Everybody would forget about the lack of a midfield signing and the lack of an experienced goalkeeper. It would become redundant. It would become irrelevant. And then next summer, Bruno goes, you get an experienced goalkeeper in, you bring a couple of midfielders in, you strengthen down the wing, you start the season next year, you're a bit more expansive, you're better, you're in the Champions League as well, you get back in the Champions League in year two and you're playing better football. Year three, you do it again and you're getting into nearly being in a title race, you play even better football, the momentum. All you got to do is keep moving forward. As I said, I think Brentford and Sunderland, just buy Amarin another month. You lose tomorrow, Amarin out, Amarin out, Amarin out all week. You win tomorrow, you beat Sunderland tomorrow, you come back after the international break and you lose to Liverpool. Well, Amarin out's not going to be enough because you're going to go, it's Liverpool, they're the champions, it's Anfield, we've just won three in a row. Beat Brighton, momentum starts to build. You say, oh, it's Christmas. He's made it to Christmas. Oh, it's stupid to sack him now. Oh, what are we going to do in January? Oh, you know what? We're still in the race for top five. It's all about surviving this year for Amarin. And it's not perfect. It's not perfect. And it goes back to that midfield and goalkeeper conversation. But I'm starting to understand why Ineos were gone for Amarin. And it's not about giving him what he wants quickly. And I think that's a failure, but it is about building something that in two, maybe 18 months, you start to move in a direction that has momentum that will never change. And I think that's what they're looking at. They're looking at a guy that at Sporting rebuilt the club, turned them into something very successful domestically and on the European stage, and had a pipeline of players coming through, whether recruited at a cheaper price or coming through the youth setup that developed and got better. And then some of those players get sold and you're sustainable financially. And then suddenly you're building something. My question is, in its best sense, is that good enough? So if he replicated perfectly what he did at Sporting, does that win you Premier League titles and the Champions League? Does a team in the Premier League that develops talent, buys talent, and then sells some of it, does that make you a Premier League winner? I don't know that there are teams that have that model. I don't know that there are teams that win the Premier League who are about developing, buying cheaper, selling some players. I wouldn't say it's a Brighton model, but it's more of a Leipzig model. A Sporting model where, you can still be decent in your domestic league and you can still play European football on the regular. But in the Premier League, I don't know you can be. I mean, Chelsea are doing it to a sense, I suppose, but they're not won the league yet, have they? Chelsea have got that model. Definitely. Chelsea have that model. They are effectively buying players. Get rid of this. They're effectively buying players, selling players. That's their model. But you can start to see it. Let me get into some of your comments because I've spoken for a long time there. Make sure you smash the like and subscribe. Remember, I am doing the press conference today because Bet's off. I haven't done a press conference in ages. Always used to do all of them. Really looking forward to it. So tune in for that at 1:45. And talking about the Bundesliga, Bayern Munich against Werder Bremen, live on That's Football later. You can tune in for that as well. Why am I not getting my live chat? Somebody tell me. Technology. Let's have a quick look. Okay, here we go. We've got a few. I tell you what, it is technology this morning. Here we go. Tolu says, thanks for your super chat. I believe the hierarchy has no clue what Amrim's system is about. Otherwise, they'd do everything to get him all the players needed, such as experienced wingbacks, experienced goalkeeper and midfielders. They're clueless. Well, look, Tolu, I actually agree with you on that. I'm not saying that what they're doing is right. I think they chose him because of what he did at Sporting over 3 or 4 years. I think they saw a guy that came in, rebuilt the club, financially stabilised the football club, sold players, and took them back to the top. That's my question. I can see why they've done it, but ultimately, I also think that in the Premier League, that might not work. I'm not sure you win titles by bringing in a sustainable manager who gradually builds something. One, there is no patience. Two, I don't think that's how Premier League clubs are winning the title anymore. You know, look at Liverpool. They win the league, they spend $500 million. Arsenal are spending money. I just don't think that model works anymore. But to be fair to Ineos, that model that they went for with Amrim a year ago, it's only this summer that we've started seeing the model change. So I agree with you. I think that to go, United have took a transitional approach. Let's keep Bruno for another year, play him in the midfield. Let's get a younger goalkeeper. We can't do everything at once. Let's just take our time. And then you got Liverpool and Arsenal and Chelsea and Man City who are doing everything at once. And they're already better than us. And our slowly approach actually is leading to us being left behind, I think. I think you're right. I think we should have bought a goalkeeper. We should have bought a midfielder. Exactly. But we're going for a slower approach. Dave the Brave says, if you look at the players we bought, they are flexible in other systems. Mon might say they were smart signings just in case they needed to act, says Dave the Brave. Yeah, I can deal with that. We need Martinez to step up to a six so Bruno can roam, says the American gangster. I disagree. I think we need Martinez to step into the left-sided centre-back and remove Luke Shaw so he can step into the midfield as one of the three. I don't think we need Martinez in the midfield. Emily Derry with the super chat says, the transition from the 90s, noughties to the 2007-12 side still had two or three seasons of upheaval that Sir Alex Ferguson had to manage carefully. We floundered after 2012 because the transition required more expertise than the personnel had. Thank you very much, Emily. Yeah, transition always takes time. Seth says, looking at the squad, I get why people are talking about midfield a lot because we get great attackers and defenders, but to get to the future, need to pass through them, says Seth. Yeah, look, games are won and lost in the midfield. It's as simple as that. Sanil says, Amrim says every position is for fight, but why is there double standards with Bruno, who's permanent no matter what? I think this is a fair point. Bruno played well against Chelsea. He made it into a lot of people's Premier League team of the week. Didn't play well against Man City. Was okay against Burnley. I think I gave him man of the match against Burnley. Didn't play well against Fulham and was okay against Arsenal. So, look, you could say he's had three good games and two bad games. That's not good enough, by the way, for your best player and your captain. I need more than that. But I wouldn't say he's been terrible this season. For me, it's not about the player being bad. I mean, look, you could sit me in a room with Bruno Fernandes. He might have seen some of the stuff on social media and say, I don't want to talk to you. I would say to him, that's up to you. See you later. But I would also say, at what point have I ever said you're not a good player? At what point haven't I said that you're top class? All I'm saying is, it's a little bit like asking a plumber to cook me a Michelin star meal. And you're a very good plumber, but you're not a chef. And you're not a midfielder, mate. In my opinion, you're not a midfielder. You've already cost us two goals this season. You're a number 10. You're probably our best captain. You're our best player, but you're not a midfielder. And I can criticise that if I want to and still say that you're a brilliant player, but you're not a midfielder. Thank you very much. I reckon we'll be more likely to see Lemens after the next international break, but it's positive that he's starting to settle in. I think, Emily, you're right. I think a lot of people are clamoring for Lemens to play. I don't think he will play tomorrow. I don't think he'll play against Sunderland either. But I think it is about settling in. It is a longer-term view. I would suspect it's not that close between Bienda and Lemens in the sense that I don't think he's far off. And I know that can be quite frustrating, but I don't think he's far off being given a start. But I don't think he's there yet. And I think is that, look, if Emi Martinez had been bought, he'd have played in the Manchester derby. But because it's Le Mans, I think the club are a bit like the laptop when people aren't match fit. They're like, let's take our time. And I think that is a big indicator or criticism of Man United as a whole, because we were literally just talking about this. Look at the summer. We didn't get a midfielder. We didn't get an experienced goalkeeper. Look at Le Mans. He's been here. He's not started a game yet. Look at Sesko. He didn't start straight away either. United seem to have this very transitional approach to everything. We'll take our time. Unfortunately, that's not what other clubs do. Arteta, let's get Gyökeres in straight away. You know, a lot. Let's get everything we need this summer. And I don't know. Maybe the longer term, slower approach will work, but it's not the approach everyone else is going for. Seth says, great to have you back. Do you think Mbeumo saying he wants United made the transfer plan shift? I only heard United look into Cunha and then they made Bruno stay by that time. So, Seth, no, I think we were looking at Mbeumo. I was surprised, but I think we were looking at Mbeumo. I think it was just kept quiet. Araf says, hi, Mark. Us in China can't watch your channel. That's football anymore. It says you can't watch the videos with the VPN, but we need VPN here. I can't know anything about that, Araf, because it's because we've got the Bundesliga games. So we've got VPN blockers on because obviously some people have paid for those Bundesliga rights on a Friday night. So Sheras says, might be Binda's last game with Brentford, long throws, or he might surprise us in a good way, says Joe. I tell you what, talking about the game tomorrow morning, I suppose, in a sense. We've done the preview, check it out on the channel. But that is a great point. They are so ridiculously direct. And this goalkeeper is not good on crosses. We saw it against Fulham. I mean, people talk about the Arsenal mistake, and it was a mistake against Arsenal. But if you go back to that Fulham game, I know it didn't cost us, but I mean, I've never been back and watched the Fulham game. I'm not going to put my hand up and say that I did, but I think we all remember it. There was numerous crosses Anderson nearly got on the end of. I think it was more sloppy finishing from Fulham than it was, you know, authoritative goalkeeping under the long ball or the corner. So I think you're absolutely spot on. I think we will need to be careful about that tomorrow. But having said that, it's even I would concede, as much as I would love to see Le Mans start tomorrow, there is a big part of me that's like, you know, if you were going to start him in a game, it should have been last week. You can't give him a debut at Brentford away from home in a tight atmospheric ground where you're going to get bombarded with long balls and throw-ins and corners. So it'll be Binda tomorrow. Let's be completely honest. We all know that. The American Gangster says dinner. Well, we've hit our target. So I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Dinner with Margot Robbie or United in fifth? United in fifth. American Gangster. I don't know what people are so obsessed with Margot Robbie for. Emily Derry says, I reckon the academy pipeline will come. Amrim is trying to create an environment to bring that talent through without breaking them. Thank you, Emily. Sean Turner, hope you're doing well, Sean. He says, I know you keep saying that Bruno has cost us two goals. Nose is running like a tap this morning. Very annoying. I know you keep saying Bruno has cost us two goals, but Shaw has cost us more. Is he is not a left centre-back or a wing-back. Why is he still playing? Hey, you know, Sean, two things can be right. I think when you look at the Man City goal, Bruno losing Foden was just why he shouldn't be playing in the midfield, but Luke Shaw not tackling Doku was also horrific. So blame can be shared. Blame can be shared. Sometimes a goalkeeper makes a mistake, but the defender loses their man. So they're both responsible. Like one goal isn't one person's responsibility all the time. It could be three people, could be six people. So yeah, look, there's something about Luke. Look, I like Luke Shaw as a player. I think I've defended him a lot. I think he's had a lot of abuse thrown at him, which is unfair. I think he was underrated by people in our fan base, but you know, he was a very good player, but since he's come back, the only positive I have is that he's fit. Would I pick him over Aidan Heaven? Probably, but this is why we need Martinez back, because I'm not convinced. He's a player that gets a very, very good ride from the club and from the media. And Ultimately, what I mean by that is when you scrutinize his performances since he came back from injury at the end of last season, he arguably cost us the Europa League more than Onana did. Onana was crap on the goal, but it was Luke Shaw's defending. And nobody talks about it, but Luke Shaw's defending on the Spurs goal was crap. Onana did make a goalkeeping error, but it wasn't a blunder. It was just technical. Technical goalkeeper would have saved that. He's not technically good enough. Luke Shaw made the bigger mistake. No one really talks about it. This season, I think he's made mistakes again. And we're applauding him because he's been steady. Steady means he's not made mistakes, but he has made mistakes. I would pick Luke Shaw, but I'm far from... he doesn't get the scrutiny he probably should get, because actually I don't think he's been anything better than average this season. But this is why we need Martinez back, because I think throwing Aidan Heaven in, we've already seen Yoro removed from the team, so I don't think Amorim's now in the situation where he's that interested in putting young players in. In fact, to counter what Emily Derry just said, I think he's going the other way. When you look at Ten Hag against Villa away last season, around the time he was under pressure, that team he played against Villa away had Johnny Evans at the back. It was where get as many experienced players in as I can and hope that they save me. And I think that we're seeing that now. You know, Yoro's been jettisoned for Maguire. Heaven's not going to be coming in for Luke Shaw. Maynou can't get in for Casemiro and Bruno. So it has to be Luke Shaw, because he's the only left-footed experienced player we've got on that side at the moment. But as soon as Martinez is back fit, I would expect Luke Shaw to come out of that team. King Eric 7 says, I still think Amorim needs another two strong windows to be anywhere near competing. The likes of Shaw, Maguire, Bruno need to go. Amorim in. I agree. It's about whether that's clearly the sustainability and transitional plan that Ineos have in play. It's just whether that comes to fruition or not, because the pressure and lack of patience is there. But yeah, they're definitely looking to build something slow and sustainable. It's just whether we can get to that point. If new trio start again, why 200 million invest, says Seth? I don't know what that means. Hi, Mark. Unpopular take. Ollie's the best since Sir Alex. Pogba, Rashford link up, thrilling, but midfield weak. Then with Fred and McTominay, same as now. Also, if Bruno scores against Fulham, with it, Amorim in, says Panay. So the guy that never won us a trophy is better than the two managers that won us two trophies and Van Gaal, who won us a trophy as well. I disagree. I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer experienced a team that basically started player power, got rid of Mourinho, and then wanted to prove that Mourinho was the problem, so started trying, which helped Ole get a job. Then COVID hit and United perform better when they're not under pressure. And ultimately, I never really was that comfortable with Ollie. I thought his football was very simplistic. You know, park the bus, counter-attack, rely on moments. And when you've got players that can produce moments, it worked. But I never found it that entertaining. Panay, but that's your opinion. Bookies still have us finishing in fifth, says Robert McCormack. Are you back working now, Ben? Because I know I was looking at that problem. I've got no idea what it is. Bookies still have us finishing fifth. A lot of people have us finishing fifth. I don't know what everybody else's thought process is, but a lot of people have us down playing fifth, finishing in fifth. I still think that is massively optimistic and unfounded at the moment. I would say somewhere between 7th and 10th at the moment. I still think that logically Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, Chelsea, Newcastle, Spurs, they're better than us. So I don't have us in 5th. I think 5th would be a great achievement. 100 million we turned down. For that amount, I'm expecting Roy Keane every week, but we're getting inconsistency and petulance. I mean, that is a great way of looking at it, Dave the Brave. I mean, I don't know whether it was 100. It was definitely 90. We turned down 90 million for Bruno Fernandes at 31, and then we're playing him in the midfield. The answer's there. I don't need to give it you. We turned down £90 million to play Bruno Fernandes at 31 in midfield. I think if you went to every Premier League manager and asked them about that, a lot of them would take the 90 million. I think if you said £90 million for Bruno Fernandes, but you're going to play him as a number 10,
you get a different answer. But I think most Premier League managers, if you said, you can take 90 million or you keep Bruno Fernandes, but he's got to play in your midfield, I think they take the money. And United decided not to. And that's it for me. If it was 90 million pounds, but Bruno's going to play as a 10 if you don't take it, I probably don't take it. But in the circumstances, we should have took it, I think. I don't know when we started accepting mediocrity at United. We used to be the Real Madrid of the Premier League. How did we accept the signing of Lemens when we had Donnarumma? This wouldn't happen with Qatar, says Mantej. And Tolu says, I believe the hierarchy. I've done that one from Tolu, haven't I, as well. I feel like if Casemiro never declined, easy fit, says American Gangster. Well, if you had prime Casemiro, yeah. I do think many problems are solved with a proper midfield, although I still think he'd get overrun with Bruno next to him. Will we ever get a Football Manager series again? Amrim out, Goldbridge in, says Panay. It's not out yet, mate, but when it does come out, keep your eyes peeled on that. Since Sir Alex Ferguson, which manager did you like the most, says Seth? Well, everybody can answer that. Mourinho is the one I wish we didn't sack because I didn't understand the player power issue until he'd gone. I think player power never would have happened if we'd stuck with Mourinho and turned on the players. So I think that the sacking of Mourinho, as much as we all wanted it, we weren't aware of that was the beginning of player power. So I think Mourinho is the one I would keep out of all of them. And also, my favourite game, I always say this, and our most watched stream, comparatively to how many subscribers we had at the time, was beating Ajax in the Europa League final. That's my favourite game that we've seen from Man United since Sir Alex Ferguson won the league. And it's my best stream I've ever done. The Europa League final win against Ajax was just a really special night. So, and that was Mourinho as well. So I'd say that I wouldn't call it a peak, but I'd say since Sir Alex Ferguson, that was the best time. please read my message. I've done that, Mantej. Arak says, I think Bruno and Maino have same defensive flaws, that being a tendency to switch off. So who brings the most defensive power and ability? Hey, you know what, Arak? This is a point, and probably haven't got time for it on a morning show, but this is a point. Is Maino defensively better than Bruno? Yes. Is Maino a player that is going to pick up the runners? I don't know. Because Bruno wasn't playing in the midfield under Ten Hag, and we continually conceded goals from cutbacks. Eriksen wouldn't pick up the runner. Other people wouldn't pick up the runner. So I'm not saying that our midfield's good enough, even if you drop Bruno, which is why we needed to buy midfielders, in my opinion. There we go. Right, we've hit our target. So I will say this. Christmas jumper. We are currently going through the process of designing our annual Christmas jumper. It's a knitted Christmas jumper. They sell out very, very quickly. They're not for sale yet because we are just designing our Christmas jumper. Would you rather have a Christmas jumper that is based on a classic sort of color theme from maybe a previous kit, or would you rather go for green and gold on a Christmas jumper this year? Let me know your thoughts on that. That's basically, I'm not going to run a poll on it because that's just too easy. I just want to read a few comments and see what people say, and I can read them when I've ended the stream. So don't feel like we're going to have 10 minutes of the show talking about it. I just wanted to get a general idea whether you would like a more classic, you know, United kit theme like we've done in the past. We did the blue and white class of 92. We did a black and white one based on a kit before last year. Or do we go green and gold? Let me know your thoughts on that. Cheers, Mark. I appreciate your input, says Justin, and the entire team's ability to have a vast variety of opinions. Thanks for all you do. That's what it's all about. Love from the States. Yeah, let us know where you're watching from, everybody, this morning. Yeah, look, it's been quite a short week, hasn't it, considering we played last Saturday night and we haven't played in the week. I really thought these weeks were going to drag, but I can't believe we're playing again tomorrow. It's been a really quick week. I don't know why. But very much looking forward to tomorrow. And I'm so excited to be on the presser as well. So I'm doing the press conference reaction for the first time this season today because Bet's off. It's a day off today. So I'm excited to see what Amrin's got to say, certainly. And I will be live with you again. I think we do. I always watch it and then I go live. I can't be asked doing. Some people do it off the quote. So I have to watch the press conference, then go instantly live so I get the context and my own thoughts. Can I trade in my Garnacho ho 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 Christmas jumper for 5% off a new one or 2%, whatever works? Nick, you can't. I'm telling you on you to Ricky on Shaw. Take says, I'm telling you, me and Ricky need to have a chat. Definitely. Yeah. 3 points from second, but we're also 3 points from 17th to Seth. Yeah, I think these next two games are massively important. Mate, just going back to Nick P there, look, we have got lots of merch. You can check it out on our United Stand Shopify page. But one of my favourite bits of merch, I love the Last Dance Ronaldo one. It's iconic. I love that one. But I actually really liked the AG17 Garnacho one with the overhead kick. I loved that hoodie. They're in the bin. I can't wear them anymore. So we're in the same boat, Nick. You just don't know what's going to happen, do you? You just don't know. Anyway, thanks everyone for watching. Don't forget, check out That's Football, our Premier League prediction show with me and Robbie. Always goes out every Friday morning. Love that. Get involved with that. I'm on the Bundesliga tonight, but I'll talk to you about that a little bit later, 7:30. We have got an 8 o'clock show with Terry as well. So lots going on. And of course, it's an early start tomorrow. But I am doing the press conference on this channel with you at about 1:45 later. So I'll see you in literally about 3 hours. Take care, everybody. Speak to you in a bit. Thanks for watching.